Well, good morning. My name is Nate. I'm on staff here at Crosspoint. I work usually with 6th or 12th graders. And so, as I said in first service, they listen well, so should you. We've been studying the armor of God for the last several weeks, and today we're going to look at the shield of faith. But I want to kind of give a real-world example of what happens when people are not prepared and sort of tie that into the need to be prepared to go to battle. On April 20th, 2010, the worst oil disaster in history unfolded before the world stage. The offshore oil drilling rig Deepwater Horizon exploded due to a series of catastrophic failures. Billions of dollars of damage, thousands of animals killed, and billions of dollars in fishing loss occurred. Deepwater Horizon exploded because there were 8 main failures that, when combined, caused the entire disaster. The crew was trying to plug the hole that they had drilled so that the rig could move away and a new rig could move in and begin to actually pump oil. To do this, they had to plug it with cement, and they chose to use a shoddy type of cement instead of the good stuff. There were 2 valves that were used as backup to keep oil and gas from exploding out of the rig, and those failed. Earlier in the day, the crew had performed a pressure test, and the results were misinterpreted. They saw that there was a problem, and instead they interpreted it as just an anomaly. It was no big deal. There was a massive scissor-like valve called a blowout preventer that was supposed to be used in an event like this, and what it would do is literally cut the pipe off from the rig, and it would just be shut, and they'd have to drill someplace else. This, too, it failed. There was a system that could divert oil and mud off the rig in the event of a blowout. It was not turned on. There was a system of fans that could be that were supposed to come on automatically when they sensed flammable gas. Those didn't work. And there was also a battery backup for the blowout preventer the battery was dead. Deepwater Horizon failed because the rig was not prepared to go to battle with the earth. And it didn't have every source of protection possible to resist the pressures of earth. In every job, there is certain things that you need to put in place to protect and to be prepared. The cost of not preparing can at times be, and often is, catastrophic. When Paul is talking about the armor of God, he was writing to an audience that understood the importance of a prepared soldier. No Roman soldier would ever hesitate to put on his armor, but the shield in particular was an important tool not just used for self-protection, but to protect the soldiers on your left and right. The Roman soldier used their shield in conjunction with his fellow soldiers. You can see in the pictures here that the shield reached from their chest to their ankles. It was used to create walls, barriers, and even a mobile bunker of sorts that they called the tortoise. And it was to protect from spears or arrows or rocks. The shield was also soaked. It was made of leather and wood and was soaked before battle so that if fiery arrows or other flaming objects were shot at the Romans, they would be extinguished easier and protect the army as a whole. A soldier without his shield was useless, not only to protect himself, but to protect his brother in battle. Paul plays on the importance of the shield when he applies it to using faith. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 today, and on page 1245 in your pew Bibles, and we're going to look at all the armor again, but today we will focus on the shield of faith. So if you're able, please stand as we read God's word. Ephesians 6, 10 through 16. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand it in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. You may be seated. How do we carry over this imagery of the shield to reality? To do this, we're going to have to define faith. We're going to need to be reminded of how Satan works. And we're going to need to think of ways to apply faith to our daily living. The first thing we need to understand is that faith is confidence in God's work of salvation. Faith is confidence in God's work of salvation. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I cannot stand here and tell you that I was an eyewitness of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. I wasn't there. It is by faith and confidence in his work as dictated in Scripture that I believe his work was sufficient to save. We have confidence in two areas. We have confidence in what he has done in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 11 says, "For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one ultimately born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed." Taking up the shield of faith means remembering and resting in our salvation. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he reminds them of the foundation for their faith, which is the gospel. Let us never forget that Jesus, being God, died as our sacrifice. He rose again as the conqueror of sin and death, and it is by the grace of God that we do not have to pay for our sin, but instead, our guilt was placed on Christ, and Christ's righteousness was placed on us. There is nothing in the universe that is greater than God, and there is nothing that we should fear because we are forgiven. We can carry the shield of faith because we know our faith is rock solid to defend us because our faith is in Christ alone. That should encourage you. We can carry a shield of faith that is in Christ alone. We also have confidence in what God continues to do in our lives. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Not only do we know that God has saved us, but we carry our shield of faith with hope for the future because we know that in our salvation, God will continue to sanctify us. The imagery here kind of comes back to an artisan. I like to work with wood. I wouldn't call myself an artisan, but I have friends who are very good at working with wood. They don't start projects with the intent to just go halfway and then stop. They're intending to build and make something that is beautiful and complete. God is doing the same in us in our salvation. In Ephesians, we saw earlier, when God saved us, it wasn't the end of his work in us. Rather, God saved us and will continue to make us more righteous. In other words, we have faith because we know that God saved us with the intent of making us new, holy, and righteous in our daily lives. So we know what faith is. We can carry that shield of faith, but why do we have it in the first place? It's to protect us from the attack of Satan. We must know how Satan attacks with doubt. A few weeks ago, Pastor Matt and Pastor Jason taught us about the work of Satan in the world. Paul returns that concept now in warning us in verse 16. Paul reminds us that the shield of faith has a use. It's used to protect against the flaming darts of Satan. It would not be unusual in warfare for the enemy to shoot arrows that were dipped in pitch and lit on fire and shot at the enemy. The point of that would have been to divide troops, to discourage in advance, to kill members of the infantry, to catch other tools of warfare on fire. They would have been very damaging. We know that Satan attacks with fiery darts today with the intent to steal, kill, and destroy. And with Christians, he often works with the intent of causing doubt. John Piper from Desiring God thought through several points where Satan causes doubt. The first is through life circumstances. there's no question I hear more often from people who are going through difficult things than, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And it's asked in so many different ways, but people who are in pain often ask, why? I want to encourage you, it's not wrong to ask questions, but we can ask questions with the intent of seeking answers from God, seeking answers from the truth of God's word, or we can ask questions with the intent of relying on our own knowledge and strength. One leads to righteousness, the other leads to destruction. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, they could have gone back to God and asked God to clarify. When Satan caused them to doubt, they could have chosen not to be deceived and not to act in their own pride, but go to God and seek truth. Instead, they chose to doubt the Lord. In your pain, I encourage you to seek answers from the Lord. Satan also attacks by causing division. Satan can tempt believers to be divided in bitterness, anger, frustration, disagreement, disappointment. We are not called to be a divided people. Rather, we are called to be united under Christ. In times of disagreement, Christians should raise their shield of faith and agree on the core truths of what united us in the first place, that Christ has saved us from sin, and the Holy Spirit unites us as one church with the purpose of glorifying God. Let us be wary of attitudes and actions that divide us rather than unify us. Those are the works of Satan and have no place amongst believers. Satan also brings temptation. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray with a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Sorry. Satan also uses his fiery darts to tempt sinners, as he did Eve. Every single day, we are presented with the opportunity to honor God by faithfully acting in a way that brings him glory, or to question God and doubt God's best for us and sin against him. Satan also attacks through speaking lies. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan speaks lies. As Christians, we lift our shield of faith to oppose that which we know to be untrue. This is why Peter encourages believers to be ready, to give a defense for the reason that we have hope. It is so easy to hear things and just consider them to be true. If we have any doubt of this, let's just look at the rise of real fake news. There are clearly documented accounts in the last few years of people being told something was news when in reality it wasn't. People have literally gotten into fights. People have been killed because of false news. If it's that easy to lie to a culture as a whole, then Christians should take seriously the lies that have tried to enter the church. We can be thankful, though, God gave us his word, which we know is truth. So if there's any question we have, we can go to that as our source of truth. Satan, lastly, causes doubt by masquerading as truth and light. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15 says, For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. About a week ago, a student from a good heart asked, Nate, is it wrong for someone who has nothing to steal in order to eat? And it started a very good discussion, but I thought of that when I thought of that circumstance when I read these verses. Satan will attack with fiery darts disguised as gifts from the enemy, sort of like a Trojan horse. It can be so tempting to try and justify some sin as doing good. Beware of this deception. Do not fall for the temptation to justify wickedness as holiness. It's not true, it's not light, and it is not good. Raise your shield in defense of these things. While we should be aware of Satan's battle tactics, we don't fear them because we know we have the shield of faith and we can carry it into battle. So how do we actually use the shield? First, the point is we have to use faith. First, by watching out for one another and encouraging one another to fight sin. Paul, in another of his letters, points to the importance of shielding one another, just like the Romans did. Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I would not call myself a gentle person. And so I was trying to wrap my head around, how do you protect someone who's trapped in a gentle way? And I thought of a video I saw not that long ago, a deer trapped in a kind of a barbed wire fence. These hunters, which, I mean, I'm like, oh, free food, you know, but these guys were better than me. And they saw that the deer was trapped, and as an act of mercy and grace, they very gently released the deer's antlers, they cut the wire, and the deer thanklessly jumped away and ran away very quickly. But the idea, I think, helps understand this passage. When we see someone who's trapped in sin, we ought to come to their defense and gently help them out of that. Hebrews 3:12-13 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We first can carry our shield of faith into battle by seeking to defend not just ourselves, but one another. There are some questions in your service program at the end that can help you with think through these things, and they're meant to encourage you to consider how you can be encouraging to one another. We also carry our shield and use it by praying for one another. We can all carry our shield and defense by carrying the everyday needs of others to God in prayer. Prayer is important because it is the act of going to God in faith, trusting that He will provide for our every need. It's literally putting faith into practice. Crosspoint has a set time to pray together each week. On Wednesdays at 6:30, people come together and pray here at the church. And when you come, you'll see it's a little insane. I mean, there's a couple hundred kids just running around, and they're learning verses and playing games. They're throwing balls at each other. Sometimes leaders are throwing balls at the kids. Oftentimes leaders are throwing balls at the kids, and it's fun. And it's just crazy, and it's loud, and there's commotion. If you're not a part of Awana or middle school youth ministry, come and pray. Pray for the little children learning God's word, that they would take it to heart and apply it. Pray for middle schoolers who are dealing with knowing everything and how to help their parents understand that. Pray for the sick, the ill, people who have been married for 70 years. Pray that God would bless them in these final years of their marriage. Pray for those who are not feeling well. Pray for those who are struggling in sin. Pray for your church leaders. Pray for our nation's leaders. Pray. Take everything to God in prayer. Would you consider coming Wednesday nights at 6:30 to pray as a church? Not only would you consider it, prayer is sort of commanded in Scripture. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." We also carry and use our shield of faith by submitting to the will of God. James tells us, James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Obedience is an outward action of lifting one's shield to resist Satan's darts. Obedience is relying on God and trusting that He asks of us what is best for us. I have a 2-year-old son. And a few weeks ago, I was home alone, and it, you know, as always, it was a harrowing experience. I decided that, you know, we as father and son should enjoy some chocolate ice cream. And so I didn't tell my son this, but I did ask him to stop what he was playing with and put it away. And again, I didn't communicate that I had ice cream for him. I just simply asked him to put his toy away. He began to do this very strange, like, twisting thing, and he fell on the floor, and his body just continued to contort, and a noise came out of him that I believe was to summon house centipedes. I mean, the sound that came out of his mouth was unlike any I've heard. And I was like, good gracious, what is wrong with this child? It wasn't until I came out of the kitchen with a bowl of chocolate ice cream and put the first scoop in my mouth that he promptly, like all of a sudden, the problem of screeching on the floor and the twisting stopped. He popped up and goes, ice cream. No tears, no screaming, anything. The point is, I had something wonderful for him. Triple chocolate ice cream is better than anything that, you know, he's doing. Let's face it, it's delicious. He needed to have faith that I didn't just want him to not have fun and put his toys away, but instead, I had something better for him. Obedience is faithfully doing what God asks because we believe that God has the desire to give us what's best. In the beginning of verse 16, Paul emphasizes also that we must carry faith with us at all times in every circumstance. This is not a mistake. When you read that, you should say, well, why does Paul emphasize that? The idea carries weight in that if we approach any aspect of life with faith, we protect ourselves and we protect the church and our fellow brothers and sisters from deception. Think of it this way. If a Roman legion was attacked by surprise and they didn't have time to take up everything, they would never leave their shield behind because they understood they were useless in battle. Take up in every circumstance the shield of faith. As the band comes forward, I'd like to take a moment to encourage you to begin using the shield of faith right now. And there may be some here who listen to this sermon and you say, I have no idea what this faith is that's being talked about. I would plead with you that you communicate with one of our pastors, maybe one of our elders, maybe a friend that you know here or came with, and ask them to help you understand and seek answers to having faith in Jesus Christ. I believe some in here need to step out in faith to trust God in the midst of a hostile work environment. Perhaps, you know, the work environment here is pretty good. Like, I have a pretty good job. I work with people who I think like me, and I like them, so it's not bad. But some of you have very difficult work circumstances. Perhaps your job is physically demanding. Perhaps you have bosses or coworkers who are unethical, immoral, and drive you insane. Maybe you've been challenged to do something you know is wrong. I would encourage you to go to God in faith that you can honor and love him in the midst of your work. Perhaps you're grieving and doubt God's love for you. I'm sorry if you are grieving something that's hard. Can I encourage you to go to God and ask him to help your unbelief? Pray and say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Perhaps you know of someone grieving, but you don't know how to help them. It's difficult to help someone who's grieving when you've not experienced what they're going through. That doesn't mean that you can't, by faith, go forward and help them. We have encouragement cards just outside the door here that is a very simple way to send a card to someone and say, you know what, I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm praying for you. To the individual who feels every day an unbearable weight of sin, I want to exhort you, I want to lift you up and encourage you to take a step in carrying the shield of faith to trust God and seeking help for your sin. You can find help for your sin, and by faith, you can choose to obey. To the parents who are overwhelmed, maybe because your kid doesn't like chocolate ice cream, maybe you're just at wit's end, you're exhausted, you don't know if you're disciplining right, you don't know if you're raising your kids the right way, you don't know if they know that you love them. I want to reassure you that by faith, you can parent in such a way that honors the Lord. To the single person longing to find relationship, know that God cares for your needs, and I encourage you to wait by faith on the Lord and his direction. To the married couple who is wrestling to keep your marriage going, go to the Lord with the shield of faith, believing that God's design for your marriage is the best design there could ever be, and you can continue to love and honor God as a couple. To the person who feels that no one can understand their situation, I would ask that you consider the faithfulness of the Lord and trust that He will continue to be faithful to you. The band is going to come, and as they come, I would like for us to pray and ask that, before you stand and sing with Ed, I would ask that you pray in whatever area that is testing your faith, you pray and ask God to lift you up and give you faith. And when you're able to stand by faith, you can join in worship. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us in our salvation. Help us to always carry the shield of faith in every circumstance. In Jesus' name. you want more information about the books in your service program, you can feel free to ask. Let's pray. God, we thank you for our faith. Help us to have faith in every circumstances, good or bad. Help us to go forward with the confidence that you have saved us and are making us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.